Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council members. Matthew Hargraves, 4268 Hazelhurst Drive, Pace, Florida, 32571. I am here today briefly to let Council know I have been retained to represent Dawn Molinaro with regard to a whistleblower's complaint she's filed under the Florida Whistleblowers Act, Chapter 112.3187. I understand that her complaint was submitted to Mr. Jorgensen on Saturday in his capacity as the statutorily defined chief executive officer. I'm here to let you know I'm representing her in that regard.
Well, that's not a good way to start a meeting when you find out that the clerk, who is the subject of a coming in an hour and 10 minutes special called meeting about unprofessional activities, allegations of misusing office, acting outside of her authority, generically. We didn't have any details because the agenda had no details at all, so I'm just kind of very vaguely describing the tone of what the meeting wound up being. And the first thing that happens is her lawyer gets up and says, yeah, you know, I'm here to represent her as a whistleblower in all of this stuff because this is basically retaliatory against her for her trying to do her job and expose some of the ugly things that are being hidden in the city of Milton. I would say at this point, it's hard to imagine anything hidden in the city of Milton that's uglier than all the things that are right out there on the bottom shelf. You know, all the secret stuff. What secret stuff? Like, there's worse? You know, that's not even the bad stuff that we're seeing? Good Lord.
We'll be counseling her during the course and pendency of the investigation related to the allegations contained in her complaint. Those allegations involve alleged improper use of governmental office, gross waste of funds, and other abuses or gross neglect of duty on the part of the city of Milton and public officers in the city of Milton.
So let me tell you, let me give you one piece of commentary, okay? It's often the case, I'll put it this way, it's often the case that I know more about what's going on than I say on the air. Because, you know, you have people tell you stuff in confidence or, you know, you have people which, you know, helps me shape a picture of what's going on, even though I can't directly use it on the air. Or you have, you know, all kinds of reasons, okay? And sometimes people, you know, I get information that it just doesn't help. Especially, you know, sometimes I get information that would definitely make a story more interesting, salacious, or whatever, and I just don't share it because it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anything. It's just, like, gratuitous for being gratuitous sake. Well, there's been a lot of stuff like that involving the city clerk and allegations by her and about her that I've just, because I thought we were kind of past all of this. And I thought, well, you know, let's just let sleeping dogs lie. It's not all that important. Well, here we go. And I'm just telling you, there's so much, you know, you think, Andrew, you talk about this Milton stuff all the time. I'm like, yeah, and you don't even know the half of it. I mean, there's so much more. So, you know, her attorney says, improper use of office, anyway. Then you get into the meeting, and I will tell you, I'm a little irritated this morning because I tried to watch this meeting, and they had some major glitches with their live streaming system last night. Turns out I could have watched it if only I had hit the one button and not the one they normally. Anyway, I missed the first hour of the meeting. I think I know all what happened, but I'll have to wait and watch it until it's posted. Because not even now can you go on the City of Milton website and watch the beginning of the special meeting. But I watched the second half of that meeting. It was about 2 hours altogether. And so I got to hear, and this was I knew this story had happened. We hadn't talked about it on the air, but I thought, well, okay, we'll just leave it all go. Oh, no, it's all out in the open. This is Randy Jorgensen, the city manager, going to be responding to a member of the public that's kind of going back and forth. This is not all of, but this is like one part of the drama between the city clerk and the rest of staff. Here goes.
But it is retaliatory, and I think that this back and forth, Randy still named three and then five. Who's the fifth? Was it?
Okay, what she's getting at is they called this special meeting with a vote of city council members, but it wasn't all the city council members who were even asked about it. There was only apparently five who were asked. They voted yes. So that would have been Jeff Snow, Roxanne Meese, Matt Jarrett, Casey Powell, and Jason Vance were the ones who voted yes to have the meeting. So the other three didn't even know, really, that what was happening because they're on Dawn's side, basically on Heather Lindsay's side, on the Pitchfork Posse side. These are not all the same, but that's the kind of the rough coalition that you've got going. And they weren't asked and they didn't vote, and so they didn't even really know what was going on. And that's kind of the issue that's being brought up here. And this is just a citizen again.
Vance and y'all four, you know,
I think that's what I indicated.
It's retaliatory
earlier.
Because she took your computer.
Actually, I don't care she took my computer. Anyone can look at my computer. The question I have is, why didn't she indicate to me that that was going to occur? That's called professional courtesy. So if you want to be treated like a professional, you need to act like a professional.
So on a day when Randy wasn't in the office, and I have been told also the PIO, Bethany Anderson, were not in the office, the city clerk, Don Molinaro, goes into their office and takes their computers to go take them down to IT to tell IT, hey, you got to get everything off these computers for all of these public records requests that I got to do. Without telling him or her that this was even happening when they weren't there. And it gets worse.
Further, when you walk down to my IT director and you indicate that in my absence you're in charge, which simply isn't true, and she knew better, in order to obtain information off my computer, to say that's inappropriate is the very least I would say on that.
I've never seen Randy livid. He was livid. This is like, this is 11 for Randy. This is as big, as loud as it gets, at least in public. I mean, I don't know about private. You know, maybe he's a yeller in private. People can be. I don't, you know, whatever. But this is like supernova for Randy. So she went down to the IT director and said, I'm in charge here, which is not true. She does not run the city government. She does not. Nobody reports to her. She just, except, in, you know, her own office is all there is. And she reports to the city council. She doesn't report to Randy. Okay, they're supposed to be collaborators. There's three positions in the city of Milton that all report directly to council. They can fire at will. That's the city manager, the city attorney, and the city clerk. Anyway, she's responsible for the records. And what's interesting is it's been like pulling teeth to get some records. Some records are very responsive about, but here she's going after their computers. And, you know, to put in comparison what I told you yesterday, I have been trying for over a week now to get the text messages in the call log off of Mike Cusack's personal phone, on which apparently he does most of his city business. And basically, he told her they can get a court order. Well, no, sir. These are public records. You're required to produce them. So eagerness, not eagerness in all different circumstances. All right, back to Randy Jorgensen.
Further, to tell two other employees that are present within that office at the time that they're being suspected of impropriety because of their relationship with another employee is inappropriate, and to communicate with Mr. Tyndall without my knowledge on an email is also inappropriate. And as it relates to when I'm gone, who is in charge, for the last 5 years, my admin has been and continues to be my chief of police.
So taking the computer, pretending to be in charge, communicating with the chief of police that she doesn't really have any direct reason to be doing that, he says, okay. And, by the way, there's other stuff we're not even saying out loud in the meeting yet.
Yeah,
and then to receive what I consider to be a legitimate grievance on the part of another employee that would indicate that they feel that there's an environment that they don't, frankly, want to be a part of that has been created here, that's troubling to me.
So, and in case you didn't know, by the way, the issue with Mike Cusack is, you know, if you're going to go and get Randy's computer and Bethany's computer and do with them what you will, okay, why not go get Mike Cusack's personal phone? I mean, that would be sort of fair and fair as like, you know, get all the records out and take care of them. Well, you know, there hasn't been consistency in that. And again, I've had a very good relationship with Dawn so far. I'm just telling you what I see on the outside based on the facts and the allegations. Okay. She's been very helpful to me. I haven't had any problems with her. But she has definitely said things that made me raise my eyebrows. And one of those was this email that she sent to Scott Collins, the failed city manager candidate, not failed, but you know, he withdrew his application. And that email, it got read last night by, let's see, who was it? Roxanne Meeser read the email. But here's what it said. Okay, this was July 16th. This was when he had withdrawn once, and it was going to be Matt Jarrett who was going to call him, and also Heather Lindsay and Don Molinaro, who called him from Heather Lindsay's house because they didn't want to be overheard at City Hall by any of the other employees because they couldn't trust in the other employees. Okay, so they went to Mayor Lindsay's house and called him and had a conversation. Anyway, this is on Sunday before that call. And she says, "Good morning, Mr. Collins. I just heard you've withdrawn. I'm stunned and truly saddened. We have a city in desperate..." And the reason I didn't read this email before is because I think it makes her look bad. And I think it makes, you know, she makes claims in here about Ed Spears that, you know, I didn't really want to share that. But this is kind of at the center of all this stuff. Okay. Anyway, we have a city in desperate need of leadership that is not corrupt and is not in a council's pocket. The what now? Like, the city's corrupt and in council's pocket is what she's alleging to a potential hire to come in, right? I'm most likely going to lose my job, but I have to admit, I don't care at this point. You are our hope. I don't know what I can do to sway you and your family to reconsider your withdrawal. If you've been threatened, I don't know how to counter it. All I can do is reaffirm to you that, and this is all caps, most of the city employees and city residents do not want to see Ed Spears, and we're so happy you were coming. Three exclamation marks. Back to regular text size. We are here to support you. If it is in the contract, please, 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 please let me know what I can do to fix it. I can be present for all negotiations if it helps. Remember, it was Alex Andrade and Mike Cusack were supposed to do the negotiations. And I believe the majority of council would support that. We have corruption, Scott, and I hate to see them win. We live in a nation that's been governed by corruption for too long, and my joy, all caps, was that we were one small city that was going to overcome the corruption. I know it's Sunday, but I'm willing to talk with you and your family on the phone or via Zoom or whatever we need to do. Thank you, Scott. I will support any decision you make, of course, because I respect you. Have a blessed day, and I'm standing by. She gives her phone number. And that's just one email. There's more. There's all kinds of stuff. Again, a lot of which I have declined to get into in spite of, you know, some people think like, all you do is talk about this. Oh, my God, you have no idea. I'm giving you the Super Cliff Notes version. So that email was out in the open. A lot of things have been out in the open. You know, allegations of corruption and, you know, taking a position against another city administration member, Ed Spears, who was up for the city manager job. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I will tell you, last night, Jeff Snow put a motion in to terminate the contract. That got a second from Casey Powell. And then there was a little bit more conversation. The mayor read a bunch of things in defense of Don Molinaro from other citizens and city employees, them alleging problems at the city and trying to get her to fix it. And in the end, they voted. And in the end, when they voted, it was 5-3. Sorry, 4-4. Excuse me. I'm thinking of the previous vote with Alex. It was a 4-4 vote. And because of the 4-4 vote, Mayor Lindsay got to break the tie, and she's very close to Dawn, and she voted to keep her. So we now, at least for now, the city clerk is still in place on a 5-4 vote. The fours were Powell, Snow, Meese, and Jarrett. The againsts were Vance, Hawthorne, Cusack, and Marilyn Farrow. And that's it. But I don't think we're done. I don't think we're even close to done. And I suspect that there's going to be more coming, but we'll see. That's your City of Milton update for the. So last week, the smaller share of the council tried to fire Alex Andrade and failed. This week, the equal half share of the city council, minus the mayor, tried to fire Don Molinaro and failed. Randy's leaving in a month. Chief is coming in to be the interim sometime in the next couple of weeks. And there's your City of Milton update. 525 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
It's over.
No one has ever dumped me.
I'm not trying to make history here.
I did the 23-hour nose route to the top of El Capitan in 18 hours and 23 minutes. I can make this work.
Your world is full of strange arrangements, and gravity won't pull you through. You know you're missing.
528 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You've got the look of love is not the theme song of the Milton City Council. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump is predicting he'll be indicted any day now as part of that investigation into his alleged efforts to stay in power after the 2020 election. In a Truth Social post, Trump called it an attempt to cover up allegations and bribes aimed at the President Biden and his family, and called it election interference. And police in North Carolina are saying that a man accused of plowing an SUV into a group of people at a Walmart there apparently didn't do it on purpose. Now, this happened Sunday in Lincolnton. That's about 40 miles from Charlotte. 6 people were taken to the hospital. Apparently, none of their injuries were life-threatening. The suspect fled the scene, but later turned himself in. He was charged with a felony hit and run, and he tells police that he mistakenly hit the gas instead of the brakes when he was trying to park.
I'm telling you, I don't know if you've seen the video, but the guy is driving down the lane, okay, at the Walmart, and then he turns to the right, which is in the direction of the migrants who are, or whoever, you know, they're under the trees on the little median between two parking lanes, and then he just guns it and goes right over the median into them. It's completely consistent with, I tried to do it, and it's completely consistent with, I'm old and I hit the gas. Either way could be true, and if he says he did it by accident, then, you know, there's no reason yet to think that isn't what happened. So, anyway. Was that it? I thought, did you have a third one still, or were you done?
No, I cut it a little short because we're
short of time.
Later in the hour.
How dare you criticize my time management skills?
No.
I read it.
That story was enthralling. I wanted to hear every word of it.
And we're not even like, that's even just like the tip of it. I just left out all of the, you know, I've decided that I'm going to do my best to, you know, lay off of the citizen comments because, oh my God.
But we want more.
I know. I know. Don't feed the trolls. That's just general good life advice right there. What do you have coming up in your news next, David?
Well, PPD is still investigating after that shooting this last weekend. We'll have more on that right after this next update from Fox News. Here at News Radio, 92.3.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, says in closed-door testimony to the House Oversight Committee, Joe Biden, as vice president, was sometimes on speakerphone with his son during business meetings.
There were niceties, and there was a hello, and there we talked about the weather or whatever it was, but it was never any business.
New York House Democrat Dan Goldman there. Kentucky Republican James Comer chairs that committee.
We saw Joe Biden has lied to the American people. He knew exactly who his son was getting those millions and millions of dollars of wires from, and he spoke to them, and he spoke to them often.
He was on Hannity on Fox. Team USA advances in the world's on the Women's World Cup soccer tournament, barely, though, after a scoreless tie with Portugal.
Wow is all we can say.
And relief, but also disappointment.
The call on Fox Sports finishing second in their group means they probably play a tough Swedish team next. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3 at 77. Partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Investigators with the Pensacola Police Department are continuing to look into that shooting last weekend at the Northwoods Apartments. That happened Saturday afternoon, just before 5 o'clock.
Next thing you know, you have people pulling out firearms and resorting to gun violence for something that's trivial. Because like I said, it's not a video game. You can't reset life when you pull that trigger.
And that is one resident there at the Northwoods Apartments. They talked with Channel 3, and according to their reporting, there could be a connection to the recent homicide of 19-year-old Marlon Jarvis. That's the man that was fatally shot 2 weeks ago near O'Reilly's Uptown Tavern on Creighton Road. As of now, the connection has not been confirmed by police. Now, police are looking for one suspect in this latest incident. One of the three victims is still in critical condition. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office now investigating after a man turned up at a local hospital with a gunshot wound last night. And deputies believe that man may have been shot somewhere in the Ensley area. Right now, not a lot of information has been released on this incident, and there's no update as of this morning on that victim's condition. A fire at a duplex in Pensacola yesterday morning led to two families being displaced. Now, that happened at Bacalane Court, and fire crews had the fire under control within a few hours. The city says one adult occupant was home at the time of the fire, but was already outside by the time fire crews arrived. The Red Cross assisting a family member, family of three and a family of two that were both displaced after that fire. The group behind the effort to incorporate Perdido will be learning the results of their feasibility study this month. Stephen Brentrow with We Are Perdido talked about the effort with the Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Burgosh last week.
The municipal government and the county government, or the municipal government and the state government, mm-hmm. or Fish and Wildlife or wherever it is, it's a much different conversation than just one or a few local citizens trying to address a problem.
And in January, the group hired BJM Consulting to do that study. They most recently produced the study for Indiantown, Florida, which did end up incorporating. Brentrow says they'll be presenting the study results at a meeting on August 21st. Republican presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis defending his campaign strategy. So far, though, he does remain pretty far behind Donald Trump in the polls. Yesterday, DeSantis said his critics that claim he's focused too much on culture wars just don't understand what they're talking about.
When I hear about, culture war, standing up for the rights of parents, standing up for the well-being of children, that's not some, quote, culture war. That is central to the lives of tens of millions of people.
And the governor says too many kids are being indoctrinated with liberal ideology in public schools. DeSantis, so far yet, though, hasn't gained a lot of ground on former President Trump in the polls. Most of them have him trailing by double digits. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We're going to be seeing a very hot day today. Dangerous heat is going to continue. Heat advisory in effect starting at 11 a.m. going until 7 p.m. Temperatures warming up into the upper 90s, feeling more like the triple digits. 10% chance of rain this afternoon, but most of us staying sunny. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. Dangerous heat will continue for your Wednesday with highs forecast to be around 98 degrees. 20% chance of a stray shower. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 77 degrees in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 75 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
This Friday at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen this Friday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com. News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, as we do on Monday, we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Hey, good to hear you. We're having a little bit of trouble with the cell phone. If it persists, we may have to reschedule or just, you know, wait till next week or something. But we have some good news. Your program, the SAFE program, is being adopted on a much wider platform, right?
Yeah, the entire United States Air Force is going to it worldwide.
Wow.
So, and we're hoping that the DOD will pick it up and all the branches will get it. And then it'll be, you know, on every Army base, Marine base, it doesn't matter. And hopefully in the near future, I'm going to present it in front of the National Sheriffs Association to all the sheriffs in America, and hopefully we can get it across the country.
Wow, that is fantastic. For people who might not know, can you just maybe give them the 30-second, you know, hey, here's what this program does, because I know you've done a couple of different things in this arena.
Yeah, so most sheriff's departments have an autism program, and we thought here in Santa Rosa County, well, autism, you know, taking care of them, it's awesome, it's great, but what if you have a child with Down syndrome or your father has Alzheimer's and lives with you. So we invented the SAFE program, and basically it covers all special needs. It doesn't matter, blind, deaf, autistic, it does not matter. Any kind of special needs person can have a safe sticker on their door and on their car. And basically that lets us know when we approach the car or the house that there may be someone inside that's going to respond differently. And we have to be aware of that. And so far, it's doing pretty good in Santa Rosa County, and about 35 other counties in Florida have adopted it so far, and hopefully we can get it spread throughout the country.
That's great. So the Air Force application, and as you say, hoping for DOD, would be for service member families that they would put it on their car and or their house. Is that right?
Correct. So even if they live off base, like in Santa Rosa County, they do it here, but at base housing, they can do it there now. And also the security forces on the base understand the SAFE program and understand what the sticker means and how to respond. So we're pretty proud that it's going worldwide, and hopefully we can get it across the country.
That's
That'd be great.
No, just a weird question comes to mind, and I don't know the answer to this. You say Air Force picked it up. You know, obviously Herbert and Eglin are pretty close, but Navy hasn't. I mean, it seems like, you know, they're the ones like in Santa Rosa County, you know.
Well, we have a huge population in Santa Rosa County from Hurlburt Field.
Sure.
And also what a lot of people don't know is Hurlburt Field is AFSOC's special needs base. So basically what happens is if you're an AFSOC and you have a special needs child, they send you to Hurlburt. They'll station you here because of all the different programs around Hurlburt Field that deal with special needs children.
Yeah, I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that. That's really interesting. Yeah. All right, very good. Of course, always, whenever we're talking with you, I always like to ask, and congratulations. I think that's great work that y'all are doing. Seems like we really export a lot of cool things out of these two counties. I mean, really, like, pioneering stuff you and Sheriff Simmons are putting together. It's really, really neat to be part of it, or at least be able to report on it. Anything happen over the weekend, any major events or anything that we need to know about in the last week?
Nope, it was nice and quiet, and I think I'm probably jinxing myself for this upcoming week and weekend, but it was quiet.
Can you imagine if you actually had that power? That's funny, but I know every cop's the same way. Don't you dare! That's so funny.
Yeah.
I asked you last week, and you said you'd follow up on the issue of fentanyl that is resistant to Narcan. We talked with Sheriff Simmons about this, and he had made the comment that it does exist. The DEA says that it's in about 20% of the fentanyl nationwide. It's a non-opiate that is in there, and so the Narcan doesn't respond, doesn't treat non-opiates. He doesn't know of any cases in Escambia, but he said that they have to reasonably believe that it's here, if only because at 20%, it's likely to have been sort of everywhere. I know you were going to follow up, and you were at a conference last week, and I kind of sprung the question on you. What have you found out in the intervening week?
Well, I spoke to some other sheriffs at the conference, and the Volusia County Sheriff, he used to be the chief of police for Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he went back up there to visit some friends, and he said it's rampant up there, and he said it is a zombie-like effect. People are walking around and you know, with their heads down and just staggering all over the streets up there. So obviously, it's definitely made an impact in the larger cities. Fortunately, we have not seen any cases of it here, but you know, 20% now means probably in another 6 months, it'll be in 70-80% of the fentanyl.
I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago when nobody knew what fentanyl was, you know, and and you know, I mean, it's only been a couple of years that we've been dealing with that. And so, man, that's just awful.
Yeah.
Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you real quick is, I know you're familiar with this case of Carly Russell. It's an Alabama case of this woman who claimed to have seen a toddler on the side of the road, claimed that it was like she got kidnapped, claimed a bunch of different things. She's now retracted and she's been arrested. The state attorney there the attorney general in Alabama and also the Hoover Police Department chief, they say they've got her arrested on two misdemeanor charges. Pretty light sentence for the amount of inconvenience, cost, man hours, and everything else that go into these big searches when there's a claim of a violent offender, a threat to somebody's life, or a kid. I don't know what it is in Florida, but I got to imagine it's similarly not very high, or not as high as maybe it should be. Your thoughts?
Yeah, demeanor here as well. And I'll tell you, I don't know what's wrong with that woman. I don't know if her TV was broke or she just didn't have any entertainment, but just to sit there and make up something. And the bad part is you're using resources that could be deployed elsewhere. And so a 911 call might not get responded to as fast because this idiot is calling in a fake complaint. So, yeah, it should be. I would love that. Escalate it and have it as a felony here in Florida.
Yeah, and the Hoover police chief was looking for was a typical misdemeanor, but to escalate it any time there's a violent or a kidnapping or something that involves a lot of man hours. Sheriff, hang on for a second. I got a text in here I want to ask you about that it would be a good, helpful thing, but let me get traffic first with Gracie.
Well, our roads are looking a little bit better this morning, but we do still have some major delays on 98 eastbound. That is going to be Windhaven Beach. We had an accident right near Blue Moon Bar. It's starting to clear up, but still, if you're going through Navarre after the Navarre Beach Causeway, you're going to be seeing some
roads
traffic.
Are fine. Don't worry about it. There's nothing on here. Thanks, Gracie. You're the most.
I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Question for you, Sheriff. Somebody had wanted to know, what are the rules for door-to-door sales in the county? Is that something that you have anything to do with? Are there restrictions? Do you happen to know? They texted me, and I don't know the answer, so I'd ask you.
Yeah, county ordinance. Basically, what happens if you want to go door-to-door in Santa Rosa County, you have to get with the main office there at the BOCC, and you have to get a permit. And not too many people that go door-to-door actually get permits. So basically, if somebody comes to your door and knocks on it and says, hey, I want to talk to you about a timeshare, whatever, ask to see their permit. And if they say, I don't have one, say, well, you need to get one and just close the door and call us and we'll come out. And basically what we do is we'll put them down on notice of, hey, this is your warning. You don't do it again until you get a permit. And then if they keep doing it after that, we can actually arrest them on a misdemeanor violation of the county ordinance. Thing,
okay.
So.
All right. Well, that's right. You know, I used to sell books door to door a long, long, long time ago, not here, but in Wyoming of all places. And it was like that there. And you had to have a photo on your ID even back then. And, so it was very easy to show to people, hey, I've got my permit. But if people don't have it, which I imagine a lot of them don't have it, that's something they can call you about.
Yes, sir. We get calls on it pretty regular as well. So, and these guys that go door to door, they don't care that you have a no solicitation sign at the front of your subdivision. But they don't care. They're still coming in there, and that's why they need to call us.
Does that have any legal standing, the no solicitation sign? I know the no trespassing at least gives some kind of legal notice, but does no solicitation actually carry any legal weight?
Yeah, it's... No, not really. I mean, it basically, some of these guys will honor it and go, okay, I'm not going in there. But most of them don't care, and they'll go in. Then it applies the one I was just telling you about, the county ordinance.
Yeah.
After we warn them, we can do something. So.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for answering. I appreciate that. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us every Monday at this time. Sheriff, as always, thank you for doing what you do to keep us safe. I love the Q word. I'll take it every week forever if we can make it happen. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
All right. Take care, Andrew.
Absolutely. 547 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. Oh, one quick note. I think somebody sent me a message yesterday and said that like nonprofits do not need to get the permit in Santa Rosa County. There was another category too that they said didn't need the permit. So it wasn't everybody. It's commercial endeavors. That's the idea. Nonprofits and political campaigns are exempt from that. 548 on News Radio 92.3. If you are besieged with the pests, and I don't mean that like public from the city of Milton. I mean like, you know, ants and termites and mosquitoes and cockroaches or any one of the above. I mean, it doesn't have to be a full-fledged onslaught of like the apocalypse of insects. It can just be like one kind that's bugging you. Sorry for the phrase. But, you know, insect, they'll come and take care of it. They're professional. They'll show up on time. They'll take pictures before. Obviously, they give you an estimate. Estimates are free. You say yes. They do the work. They tell you what they did. And then they send you an email with follow-up pictures, too. So you have a full documentary record of what was done and how it worked. Like, for example, fire ants. They've got a program that takes just one treatment, bonds with the soil, guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection, $25 off new annual fire ant contracts right now. Also, mosquitoes. They have a program there. They'll figure out what kind of mosquito you're dealing with, and they'll do something to target those and take care of that. And, you know, right now, annual pest control customers, new ones, get a $50 off. There's some restrictions apply, so be sure to read the contract, obviously. But they will take care of you. Now, of course, they also do landscaping. They do both the pests and the lawn maintenance. And, you know, whichever one you might need or both, because they kind of go together, you can do what you want with what they tell you. Now, NSEC is also hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Good pay, good benefits, 401k.
health insurance. It's not just a career, you know, or it's not just a job. It's a career with opportunities to grow and advance. You can apply for that work at WorkWithNSEC, E-N-S-E-C, WorkWithNSEC.com.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Mr. Big and the Rhythm Sisters hit the stage. They'll have music selections ranging from soulful jazz, New Orleans jazz, all the way up to the newest dance hits plus R&B favorites. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Lighten up, Francis.
NASA is blasting out a signal 12 billion miles away. They're hoping to locate the Voyager 2 spacecraft. Now, flight controllers apparently sent out the wrong command to it last week. That tilted the device's antenna away from Earth. Now a massive satellite dish in Australia is listening for any stray signals coming from the Voyager to pinpoint where it is and send the right command. It takes more than 18 hours for a signal to reach that far, even at the speed of light. Voyager 2 was launched in the 1970s to explore the outermost planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune.
Who sent the wrong signal to V'ger? I mean, good Lord. Somebody, you know, don't you vet these things? It seems kind of bizarre, like, Jeff, I got some news for you. What is it, Mark? You know how we're joking about how maybe if somebody sent the wrong signal by mistake to the Voyager 2 that it would make it so we couldn't communicate with it anymore? Yeah, I remember why. No reason. Good Lord. Oh, man. Give it enough time. It'll come back with some bald lady, and, you know, we'll find out everything we need to know about what V'ger has seen. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. All right, Candy, I'm going to test your Star Trek fandom.
Ugh. I don't think I'm your girl. I know some of it.
I thought Star Trek was your jam.
That's a Reese.
No, I thought you were into it.
I like Star Trek. Go ahead.
No, all right.
What's your question?
Star Trek, the motion picture, a good movie or a terrible movie?
A good one, 1979.
Mm-hmm. All right. David Wayne's in the
news. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Let me put it this way. It's a classic. That's not the same as being good. I don't know.
Wrathicon, I thought, was the good one.
So
I like number two. Yeah.
Star Trek 2 through the rest were all the good ones, but, you know, that's me.
Well, they had to do something after the series ended. I don't know, like 10 years before that?
I'm just saying, the pace, it was great. When I was a kid, it was great for falling asleep. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, hundreds of asylum-seeking migrants have been arriving in New York City just about every day. The city apparently struggling to find shelter for them, many of them outside of the Roosevelt Hotel overnight. That's their intake center.
We're just simply out of space. We've been saying this for months, for, you know, almost a year at this point. And so what we really need is help from our state and federal partners.
And the New York City Mayor Eric Adams spokesperson, Fabian Levy, says that the administration is still trying to figure out a solution. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team heading to round 16 of the Women's World Cup. The Americans played Portugal to a draw in their final group match in New Zealand, extending their World Cup unbeaten streak to 20 straight matches.
Oh, you left out the best part.
What was that?
Well, you said it was a draw. What was the score?
Let's see. Boy, I've got it in here somewhere.
I'll tell you that if you add the two equal scores together, you get a number less than one.
Yep, yep. Scoreless draw.
That's right.
Talk about burying the lead.
90 minutes of nothing. Well, Andrew, you don't know. There were shots on goal. Yeah, I know. Go ahead, David.
And apparently the U.S. Space Command headquarters is not going to be located in Alabama. After all, President Biden says Colorado Springs, Colorado will be the permanent home. The news reversing a Trump decision to move the headquarters to Alabama.
Yeah, this is a weird story. David, thanks so much for the update. This is a weird story, and I will tell you, I don't feel qualified to evaluate who's got the right of it, because I feel like it's one of those, you know, you've got to know enough about what the command would do and what the local base or the facility that they would integrate into would do. But here's the short version, okay? Trump decided they had a temporary space command that got set up in Colorado Springs, and he wanted to move it to Alabama, you know, and where there's all kinds of stuff related to, you know, space and missiles, and I mean, it's a huge complex, right? And so they did a study of it, and the best I can tell is that it was ranked the number one, and then number five was Colorado, and there were a couple of other ones in between. And now the Biden administration comes in, and there was a rumor at one point that this had to do with Alabama passing restrictive abortion laws and not wanting to move another military command into a southeastern state that was going to restrict abortion, something that the military has been saying is harming its recruiting. And, you know, this whole dust up over paying for travel for service members to go get abortions. And that's why Tommy Tuberville has put all of the holds on all of the promotions and anything to do basically with the military until that issue gets resolved, because you have this longstanding principle that all other disagreements aside, the federal government shouldn't be paying for abortion. And if it is paying for even things connected to abortion, like travel in the military, well, that's a violation of that principle. That's why he's protesting against all of these, you know, things happening in the military. Okay, that's the backstory. Now, they've since said that it has nothing to do with that, that there's no relationship between that law in Alabama and whether or not to put the Space Force Command there in Huntsville. So that's the backdrop, okay? The argument by the Colorado people, as in if you ask the representatives from Colorado, the congressman from Colorado, they say it makes the most sense. This is the right strategic decision. This is a good idea. This is right. If you ask the people from Alabama, they say, oh, my God, Biden is playing politics. Biden is doing this only because he doesn't like Alabama. Why would you give the gold medal to the fifth place finisher and all of that? And again, I don't know enough about the details of what makes or does not make the right location to be in Alabama. It seems to me like Alabama makes more sense than, you know, Colorado. And so it seems to me like the Alabama congressmen are right about this. But I'm just saying there is definitely a two sides to the story, right? There's both are arguing for it. And given that, and given I don't have the personal, you know, military expertise to step in and decide, I'm just saying it's, you know, that obviously the political leaders from Alabama say, how dare you? And the political leaders from Colorado say, good job. Right. So there's the short version of this back and forth over the question whether Space Command would be in Huntsville when it's going to stay now in Colorado Springs. 437-1620, 437-1620. You know, the X for Twitter, right? The new logo for Twitter. It's already now on my Chrome. It shows me the little X icon. I actually want to take Twitter off of my like little tabs, you know, the quick tabs. I hate this logo so much. It's so ugly. It's just not, you know, it's not the cute little bird that was kind of neat. And then, of course, you know, Twitter's had all kinds of sign woes. Like, the X is now gone from their building. Remember, they were trying to put up this X that was bright lights and just a big X on top of their building. And the San Francisco, code enforcement came along and said, sirs, you're going to have to take that down. You don't have a permit for that. Remember, they got in trouble because they took down the Twitter sign before, and they didn't have a permit for that. And so just, I don't know. I get the feeling at this point, like, basically Elon Musk is going to do anything he can just to stay in the news on the hopes that any PR is good PR. And maybe what? People will hear about the sign and want to sign up for Twitter or X or whatever we're supposed to call it now? I don't. It's baffling to me, but you know, hey, billionaires are going to do what billionaires do, I suppose. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Andrew McKay.